Before we start today's show, you should know that we have over 1,000 episodes of The Real Ass Podcast available on demand, ad-free, and uncensored at GasDigital.com. Not only that, we do a bonus Friday show that is exclusively for subscribers. You gotta check us out. To subscribe, just go to GasDigital.com and use the promo code RAP. You'll save $1.50 a month, and it helps out the show. All right, let's start the show.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
Where's my Rattlesnake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Hey, yo, God. This is crazy.
Yeah, boys, it's your boy Louis J. Gomez. Shit, you know, by the way, you know I'm getting back in shape. If I ever pull out this shirt, I've had this shirt for years. This is a shirt that I only wear when I'm feeling fucking
That's
good about
Deltoid
my body.
Shirt.
It's my fucking
skin. Yeah, a little stretch to it.
Yeah, it's not a bad shirt.
Alpha dog shirt.
It's my alpha dog shirt,
Let's
doggy.
Go, dude.
I thought of a new product that I'm reading a book on how to launch successful products.
Doggy shirts?
No, it's called Alpha Brew. It's coffee that boosts your testosterone. It's not on the market. Let's go, boys. Give me an investment. That's all I got. This is far I've gotten into the business. Great product.
Brew your nuts.
That's
the beans.
We're starting late, not because I'm late, but because everyone else has been fucking late. Zach's not here.
Not me.
Shannon's not here. JP McDade's fucking here. You better goddamn here, right, dude. Believe he's here.
Let's go.
Drew Montana's here. You better fucking goddamn right believe Drew Montana's here.
Let's go.
But we're waiting still on Shannon. We're waiting still on Zach Amico. What a day.
We're recording on 9/11, and Zach is in Islamic ritual prayer right now.
Yes.
In honor of 9/11.
He can't get up from the rug. He got stuck praying to which direction? West, east, north,
north? East, I think.
Mecca.
Nobody is.
No one knows.
Is Mecca in the east?
Yeah. So
do you know that?
Depends where you are, I guess.
I guess that is true, right?
Yeah.
What if you're really far east? Are you now praying west?
I just forgot that the earth is a globe.
Get the fuck out of here, dude.
I'm a flat earther.
We have a great show planned today. Zach is literally moments away. I just had to start. I couldn't wait anymore. I have to wrap the show by 1:30, and I definitely wanted to get a full show in. We are celebrating 9/11 on today's show. Lots of explosion sound effects throughout the show. What a day. We're going to find out where our guests were on 9/11. Mm-hmm. Both these guys making their 9/11 debuts. So it was a big show on 9/11. 9/11 was a big part of my journey. In fact, the book that I'm writing right now, it's going to end. It ends on the chapter about 9/11.
That's where it ends?
Yeah.
I feel like your life got so much better since then.
The first book that I'm writing is just all about my shitty life.
Okay.
It's just everything up until that point when I found comedy.
I like that.
And yeah, 9/11 is very key in my comedy journey.
You're writing like a Robert Caro 5-part LBJ biography about yourself, where it's just like in sections, and the first one is just pre-9.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
The part that nobody knows about.
A Robert Caro. I was thinking that. That's what I compare myself to. I was like a Robert Caro guy.
That's right.
That's what I'm doing.
The power broker.
The power broker.
It's like a regular Game of Thrones happening here, dude.
Yeah, dude. the fucking Song of Fire and Lice.
Nice.
We have a great show planned today, an incredible show. Let's get our plugs out of the way right away, and then we got to get into it. We have to talk a lot about 9/11 and a lot of other fun things that have happened. Shout out to everyone that's in the racist live chat right now. You guys are the best subscribers in the world, even the ones that hate me. I really love you guys for being here. If you guys aren't already subscribed, go to gasdigital.com, use the promo code RAP. Get $1.50 off per month. It's a discount on the membership, and it'll unlock a bonus episode of Real Ass Podcast every week. You get on-demand library that is over 1,000 episodes deep just for this show, plus the Legion of Skank shows, plus all the other shows in the on-demand library, uncensored episodes, ad-free episodes, pre-release on all of our episodes, and access to the racist live chat. Jigaboo John says, "What up, doggy?" Impatient Wolf says, "Blop, blop." Fat Shizno says, "Fuck you, Lewis, you faggot." Mark Torres says, "You're a faggot, Lewis." James Phillips says, "Fuck them towers." Benny and the Jets put a little gif of a chick being fucked. That's nice. Amy Winehouse, baby daddy, says, "Jorge Blue Lewis." Hold on. I'm going to read your comment, Amy Winehouse, you cunt. "That's why he's got a job still."
These guys are on fire today.
Yeah, these guys fucking... Dude, hey, look, you know, you can say anything. It's rare that you'll get banned. And I don't think we've ever banned anybody from the Racist Live Chat, have we? We just suspend.
Put people on timeout.
I put them on a little timeout. Especially Amy Winehouse gets timed out almost every show.
The only thing that's offensive about that chat is the guy's name is Benny and the Jets. It's like, not today. Of all days.
We have a great show planned. Let's do our plugs. What are you plugging on, JP McDade?
The special is JP McDade in Brooklyn, co-produced with Stavi Baby. It is on his YouTube channel. Go check it out. JP McDade in Brooklyn.
Very cool. That's awesome. Drew, what you plugging, my friend?
Just Durag and the Deer Tag podcast. Check it out. And then also Digital Bazooka podcast with my buddy James Moss. We do prank calls. It's a good time.
And they pranked me.
We got Lewis. Check it out. And I'll be at Skankfest.
They smashed me, dude.
Yeah. Trim them bushes.
Trim them bushes, motherfucker. Go look that up. That was a lot of fun.
That was you?
Yeah.
That's it.
And then I got a lot of live dates coming up. Go on my website, lewisofskanks.com. Grab tickets for all of them if you're watching live. Tomorrow I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia. This weekend I'm with Chris from Brooklyn. We're doing three different cities, three nights, going all over the place. Virginia Beach is not selling well, folks. Atlanta, Georgia on Thursday, Orlando on Friday, Virginia Beach, Virginia, Scandals Live on Saturday. Come out. Not only, this is my new pitch to everybody. Now, don't just come. Bring four friends.
Right.
Nice and easy. It's an easy solution for all of our problems. You need friends. I need more people at my shows. Bring four friends. I promise you, you're going to fucking love it. If your friends don't love it, I will personally refund your money. I swear to God.
That's not true.
I swear to God, I will. If you come up, if you have the balls to come up to me after the show and say, we didn't like it, give me my money back, I swear to God, I'll give you your fucking money back.
I think I'm friends with you, and I was scared to tell you I'm going to be 10 minutes late today. There's no way strangers tell you I want my money back.
I want them to say it right to my fucking face. Well, I will give you 70 to 80%. Of your money back, depending on how many people showed up to the show.
All right.
That's kind of a good sales tactic, though. Just be like, click a box, being like, are you going to bring three friends or four friends to the show?
Which it's perfect. It's called the witch clothes, my friend.
Like, oh, I see.
You know what's up.
A little spell.
Well, no, it's witch. W-H-I-C-H.
No, I'm making witch. It witch, dude. I'm making it magic spells.
I put a spell on you.
Comedy Cauldron.
Yeah, pull up my lineup again. I'm sorry. Pull up my dates again. Then next weekend, we will be at the Creek and Cave in Austin, Texas. Legion of Skanks Live. Those shows might be sold out at this point, but we have some great fucking special guests popping in for those shows. Those shows will be going out. Then in October, I got Houston, Texas, Secret Group, Sacramento for the first time, maybe ever. San Francisco for the first time in like 7 years. Portland, Oregon for the first time ever. Portland, Maine for the first time ever. Boston, Massachusetts, New Britain, Connecticut.
Hard-hitting New Britain.
Baltimore, Maryland, Washington, D.C., and more. And then November is going to get funky. I rescheduled my Toronto date for November, plus Casper, Wyoming, and many more cities all to the end of the year. I'm going to keep on promoting and touring and doing all this shit. So come watch me live on the road. It's the best way to support me.
Check
out all my other podcasts, Legion of Skanks, Story Wars, and The Regs, available everywhere you guys find podcasts. The great Zach Amico just walked in. Perfect on time.
Let's go.
Go see Zach Amico on the road. He's touring. Where's Zach going to be next? Zach, where are you going to be? I'm promoting you.
Staten Island on the 21st.
Staten Island, September 21st, the Fifth Borough Comedy Festival, one of the headliners, the great Zach Amico. Come see him. I'm trying to get Zach to come out to Austin for the Live Legion of Skank shows and to do some real-ass podcasts while we're out there.
Well, I'm going to see. I'm going to do my best.
Come on, Zach. Come on, Zach. That's it. Happy 9/11.
Happy 9/11.
Drew, where were you on 9/11? How old are you, Drew? You're young as fuck.
30. I was in second grade. Wow. So I remember like being just getting picked up from school, and then my dad was like an early conspiracy guy, so he was already immediately like, there's something going on here, there's more to this. And we were just off from school, so I was just like, yo, can I ride my bike? He was like, yeah. And I got to ride my bike all night.
You were in Philly?
No, in New York, like Syracuse.
Okay, upstate New York.
Yeah. Dude, I rode my bike so hard on 9/11.
He's like, you can ride your bike as soon as I explain to you what temperature this metal will melt at. Okay, like, we got some things to learn.
He's like, you can ride your bike until Rush Limbaugh comes on.
Were you like worried as a little kid? Do you remember being like, fuck?
No, I had no concerns about it.
Yeah.
It was really just ride my bike.
Being like
all day.
A little kid, like you're like, yo, sick. We're off of school for a few days.
Yeah.
It's a snow day with no snow.
It was literally, I thought it was just an extra part of summer.
Yeah.
I was waiting. And when we got to third grade, I was pissed that we didn't have another 9/11.
Yeah.
It's going to be every year.
Yeah. I'm like, this is not a Jewish holiday.
Yeah, you remember when?
It kind of is. Yeah.
9/11 being a Jewish holiday is a great bit, folks.
Some people think they did get off that day.
It's a different calendar, though. It's different calendar.
Oh, fuck, dude. Yeah, yeah. When I was in college, they let classes out, and I didn't know they were letting class. Like, I didn't know that something was happening. So they're just like, yeah, classes are canceled. And I was just like, fuck yeah. It took me like a full hour of just of being amongst people crying and like little ashes falling down from the sky.
Oh, you were in the city?
You were at like Hunter College on 68th Street. You're like, all right.
No, I was even closer. I was 23rd Street, Baruch College.
That's incredible.
Baruch.
You didn't hear it?
You could have. You were smelling it, and you were.
I thought I've always told the story as I kind of heard like thunder in the like background, like right when class started
on a perfectly.
But
clear
I might be pulling a Ranazizi on that one. I got to be honest with you guys. I might have made up that. Here, let me tell you something. I remember it now.
He's like, well, I was in the fire department at the time,
but I remember. Here's the thing. I might have just made it up when I was younger, and I said it so many times.
That now you believe it.
That now I believe it. So I'm going to omit that part from my book. Just so you guys know, I will not say that I heard anything, because at this point, 50-50 shot. I could have heard
Lewis
something.
Lewis manifested 9/11.
Does the book just end with you roller skating away
roller
from 9/11?
Yeah, the next day, thinking about it. No, it ends with me going to a comedy show a week after 9/11 and like fucking seeing how comedians were dealing with it.
Nice.
And it was sick. It was like literally it was why comedy exists, in my opinion. It was like this fucking crazy tragedy to the people that were being affected by it the most. Like it was the New York Comedy Club. It was when the New York Comedy Club was a real shithole when it was owned by Al Martin. And it was like every comic was just fucking, every comic talked about it. That's the only thing anybody could talk about. And the audience was just fucking dying. And it was one of the best comedy shows I ever saw. And it made me go like, oh, this is what fucking comedy is. And I grew up on like really dark comedy. I grew up on like, you know, I never connected with Jerry Seinfeld or fucking, you know, and even the TV shows like Friends or Frasier about like, you know, white people that have their shit together to a certain, it's like that never, I liked all like the black shit. I liked Def Comedy Jam. I liked all the, you know, All the jokes about just being poor and having a fucked up environment, that's sort of what resonated with me. And yeah.
I would have pinned you for a Friends guy.
Like,
you
know.
Yeah, going to the barbershop, like, yeah, give me the Rachel.
Where were you at, JP?
I wasn't involved in the hijacking. I just want to make that clear.
Okay, I guess we were wondering.
Because your tone was a little accusatory.
Yeah, JP, where were you on 9/11?
I was in Newtown, Connecticut.
Newtown, Connecticut. That's right. You grew up in the famous Newtown, Connecticut.
Uh-huh.
That's
wild. I was in seventh grade.
If you could only take back one tragedy, 9/11 or the Newtown, Connecticut.
Trade one?
You trade one. Man. Right now, you have the powers to go back.
Go back and fix one.
This is a great fucking question. Holy shit.
Damn.
It's an actual World Trade Center.
I'm riding for the 203, man. I'm stopping Sandy Hook from
happening. Damn.
Bush was going to do 9/11 way or another.
No, he's riding for the twos and threes.
So you would stop Sandy Hook. How many children died in Sandy Hook?
20.
20 children. 20 children for how many people died in 9/11? 6 million?
A couple thousand.
I don't know. I get all the tragedies confused.
I wish we had a pie chart of how many of them were like finance.
Zach just wants to pie anything.
Oh, a huge section.
Yeah, that's what I want.
A
like,
lot
how
of
many of them were like,
went down.
Like a lot of Wolf of Wall Street type motherfuckers.
Like the guy who was trying to save people with the red bandana. He was like a lacrosse bro and he died. There's like that story about that guy.
Zach just wants to pie anything. I'm going to say it again.
And I was in I was in seventh grade, and they called me in my math class because they didn't show us TVs or anything. They didn't let us know what happened.
Yeah.
And I got a call. They're like, hey, your uncle in the World Trade Center is okay. I was like, first of all, I didn't know I had an uncle who worked in the World Trade Center.
That's hilarious.
I'm glad he's having a good day. I have no idea what's going on. And then like my mom picked me up from school like, what the fuck? The towers are gone.
That's crazy.
Like, oh, man, that sucks.
But Connecticut, you probably don't feel like it's going to happen there. It's not.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, that's what I said. I was like, nothing bad will ever happen here in Connecticut.
Shannon, what would you take? Oh, Shannon's not here yet. Shannon's still not here? How is that possible? Jorge, what are you bringing back? But now I'm finding out this is a one-man job. Why do we have two producers? With the show's going on, Jorge's doing a great job.
Running smooth.
Yeah. Jorge, if you could take back one tragedy, Newtown, Connecticut school shooting or 9/11. Now, you also know that, I mean, we have somebody in the room that was directly affected. I'm assuming you have friends of friends.
Indirectly, that, you know,
well,
people.
You know, look, dude, that's direct. if somebody, dude, if I knew somebody like that, that'd be brutal for me to have to deal with their tragedy. That would really suck. It would be haunting to watch them cry about the loss of their child.
That's true.
It's nuts, dude.
So how do you feel, JP?
Still pretty. I'm going to say I'm negative about it. Yeah. I'm against it.
So Jorge, what would you rather? Which tragedy, if you could take back one?
I would take back probably 9/11.
Wow.
Boo.
Wow.
Boo, Jorge.
Wow. How many people died in 11? 2,000?
I think 3,000.
3,000. Do we have an exact, is there an exact number?
I think it's like 2,800. Something like that.
All right, let's take a quick moment and thank Mando for supporting today's show. We love Mando. It's whole body deodorant, not just for your armpits, but your butt, your grundle, your feet, your cracks, your crevices. Anywhere you stink, they're going to help you out. And I'll tell you right now, when you shower with soap alone, look, your balls are going to smell fine, right? But I'll tell you right now, if you're using Mando Total Body Deodorant, you're going to smell so much better. It's clinically proven to last 10 times as long as showering with soap alone. And if you're out there fucking doing your thing, you don't want to fucking take your undies off and have your balls stink in some bitch's face.
Absolutely not, Lewis. And as a man with many folds and crevasses, I can tell you Mando comes in clutch for me. It's aluminum-free, baking soda-free, cruelty-free, dye-free, and vegan.
Got so many slots on him, he actually keeps his Mando starter pack inside of one of the slots.
Yeah, it's like Batman's utility belt. everything you use it for, they have little ones on the go that you can use when you're traveling. So if you need to hop into the bathroom real quick, Mando's absolutely phenomenal. I love everything they do.
Go to Mando.com. Go to shopmando.com, shopmando.com. Use the promo code REAL, R-E-A-L. You're going to save $5 off your starter pack, which comes with stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, and two products of your choice, like the mini body wash or the deodorant wipes. The deodorant wipes are fucking lifesavers. ShopMando.com, promo code REAL, 40% off your starter pack. All right, where were we? But I'm saying, like, did they give an estimation, or they're like, it's somewhere between, like, 2,800 and 2,850?
I would assume they counted.
They must have, right? They would have to have, well, the Jews, the Holocaust, like... There's no accounting for that.
Like, there's
no. And they love accounting.
Yeah, that's because they killed all the accountants.
Yeah, there you go. So,
including, we would have a much clearer picture about how many Jews died if they didn't murder all of the accountants back during World War II.
Yeah,
including the terrorists. 2,977 people died at 9/11.
2,900. So, well, they're people too. Don't be an asshole.
Yeah, but it's probably like a little less because there's definitely a few dudes that are like, "This is my chance to get out of my life." And they're just, I'm going to fucking take a bus, start a new life, and they'll just say they never found me.
Imagine, like, that doesn't exist at all anymore. Right? Like, people that, like, fake their own deaths, do they?
I think it's hard to do. It would have been possible then.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I should do that. But you see, like, your ID in the rubble burning or something. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what?
This is it. This is my opportunity to get
Kentucky
the fuck out of here.
Kentucky seems nice.
Yeah. Take a dead cop's uniform, put it on, just walk back out.
What would you do? If you faked your own death, where would you go? What would be the first step, right? You go to, obviously... You get a bus ticket. You don't need an ID for it, right?
There's too much like ways to trace that if you get a bus ticket. There's cameras and there's all types of shit. I think you just got to go to the woods and go in a cave.
You got to get your hands on a boat.
Well, you got to just take
there's
it
no faking your own death. That's right. Like, so unless I guess you can fake your own death by like leaving a suicide note and saying you're jumping off a bridge and they don't recover your body.
Right.
That's the way to do it. All right, fine, I said there's no faking your death. Oh, there's a faking your own death.
Dude, you got it, yeah.
Oh, you can fake your own death, folks.
Suicide note, enough. Jump off the bridge, but you have a scuba suit under the bridge. You put the scuba suit on.
Yes, dude. You put the rock. You take a video of you jumping with the rock down in the bottom of the water.
The rock turns to a scuba suit.
No, well, that's crazy. There's no rock that turns to a scuba suit.
All right, I'm sorry.
You have to have the key to the chain. And there's a box in the water with a scuba suit and a whole jetpack. Okay. And then you put it on underwater. I have no idea how scuba works. Is there putting a scuba suit on underwater?
Yeah, I could do it.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I think you have to depressurize some shit, dude. I don't think that's how it works. I don't think you could start scubaing in the water. I think you have to scuba out of the water and scuba in. This whole plan's fucked, dude. We're failing right now.
I didn't say I could do it. I'm just putting ideas out there.
Putting ideas out there. So you fake your suicide. All right,
a fake hollow rock with the scuba suit in it?
That was my idea.
Yeah, but the rock's going to immediately start floating. They're going to be like, it's not a rock. It's not going to make a big splash. Come on, dude.
I'm just spitballing.
We're trying.
We're workshopping this for you, buddy.
How far are we away from like it being where every time you walk into a store with Face ID, they have your credit card information. They go, you don't have to pay for anything.
Next year.
No, probably not that quick, but I'd say very quick.
They already tried it. They already tried it with like an Amazon store, didn't they?
Yeah, they
are. It
was
like all cameras, and like they would read your face, and you could just grab something and walk out. It would charge you automatically.
And they said it was AI, and it's just Indian guys.
It was just guys.
It's just a bunch of Indian dudes.
And Indian. Hold on, AI. Call AI.
Hello? You got a text on your phone that's like, show Bob's. Show pussy, please.
Show Bob's and receipt.
Yeah, they do that at the airport. You can, but you have to put your credit card in first. So when you walk in, you swipe your credit card. Then you walk in, you grab whatever you want. You can just walk out, and they know what you took. And
well, we know MSG and all those big venues have the facial recognition.
Yeah.
Because they banned the guy that brought the bong to Fish.
They banned a guy who talks shit about the Knicks owner.
Yeah, I think if you have if you work for a law firm that has an active lawsuit against them, they can remove you from, I think, MSG and a couple of other.
And they do it just with facial recognition.
Facial recognition. Jake Head, the comic Jake Head, like he got kicked out of MSG because he tweeted something like, I'm going to kick James Dolan's ass. And they just found him and removed him. Kind of sick.
That is pretty badass. It's a great story.
It's really funny.
Yeah, that's sort of like, you don't want to embrace technology, but they're going to force everybody.
Yeah.
There's not going to be like, there's going to be like, there's people who like have flip phones now and you kind of want that life. I'm very jealous of that life. Like, you know, when I look at like my usage on my phone and it's not a lot, like I feel really good about myself. Right.
Yeah.
And eventually they're going to make it to where life is actually impossible without being logged in. Or I remember when they first made it where there was stores that were, you couldn't use cash at. Now I'd say it's probably more than half the stores in New York City. You can't use cash.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to make you get the chip eventually. And then
what, do you mean, what chip?
The fucking the micro chip or the Neuralink, whatever it is. Because yeah. It's not going to be. Me and my boys were talking about this the other day. There will never be a point in our lifetime where you're forced to get Neuralink. But I could see in the next 50 years a point where it's super inconvenient for you to not have it. You know what I mean?
Well, it's like not having a smartphone now.
Exactly.
So it will be. So the clunkiness right now of a smartphone of like. Even if I have to like look up something on the internet, I'm telling AI is making it better, right? Like even just like ChatGPT, it's just to look something up, the experience is a little bit smoother now. Like Google for a while was you Google something, they give you a bunch of results, you have to kind of sift the results to find what you want. Now it's just not exactly the same thing, but yeah, that clunkiness of just even just eventually it'll be I'll just think I want to Google something and I'll just go, I have the answer. Why wouldn't I want to just look up and have the answer? Versus, you're going to be like a retard. We're going to be the way people will think and the way technology will be incorporated into our brains. If you don't have it, you'll have like the mental capacity of like a 7-year-old child.
Kids in school will be over in the corner, like looking at porn, just like looking up into their heads. Like,
just coming.
What are you doing? Studying.
She starts floating.
Oh, they're floating like the girl in Stranger Things.
Oh no, he's downloading too much.
Yeah, dude, it's a scary world. And I did say I'm jealous of that life. And I saw somebody in the chat was like, just do it. It's not that easy to just give up a smartphone when this is my career. It like social media is built so deeply into my career and is wired so deeply into everything from promoting my shows to, and I'm not just going to pay somebody to do it. I've done that in the past where I paid people to do things. It's just
and
never
broke up with them.
But no, then it's never the same sort of, it's just not you.
But
you
know what I'm saying? And like if you shoot something on a real camera and save it to an SD card and put that in an SD card reader, put that on your laptop, you do that one time, you're like, fuck this. I'm going to do a smartphone again and just have the video ready to go. It's such a pain in the ass.
Such a fucking pain in the dick. So yeah, how do you give up having like a, this one, when Ari does it, he like leaves for like 3 months and he gives up everything. All the momentum. That's why I have so much respect for Ari, because Ari literally does what you're not supposed to do because that is his idea of success, is being able to do what you want to do, not what you're fucking supposed to do. And it's badass, dude. Or you're like just saying, yeah, hey, I'm just going to stop my podcast. I'm going to go travel for 6 months. You're like, Nobody does that. You can't do that. You just built the momentum. Your podcast just broke a certain threshold. You're looking at your numbers. You're like, oh, cool. I just got a sponsor. I finally get to make money off the podcast a little bit. And then he just stops. Fuck you. It's insane. It's insanity, but I have so much respect for
it. One day Ari's going to come back from Southeast Asia and it's just going to be me with like makeup on. I'm just gonna be like, what's up, guys? It's me, Ari Shaffir.
That's pretty good, Ari.
From This Is Not Happening. Remember? I'm your friend.
He
disappears.
I mean, I do get very jealous of that life, dude. Just being disconnected. Like,
it's got to be sick.
I've tried to do it a few times on vacation. I almost get there, but where I like put my phone away completely where I'm on vacation and just like, experience fucking life.
There's something about it when people my age or like around my age do it, I feel like they're hipsters. But when people my dad's age do it, I'm like, that makes sense. Like, you're disconnected.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But like when young people do it, I'm like, you're trying too hard.
It's not trying. It's good for young people.
It definitely is good for them.
It's 100% good for them. We shouldn't shame young people for wanting to fucking do what is almost absolutely necessary, which is to not distract yourself from your thoughts. your thoughts are there for a fucking reason. We have like all of these fucking crazy, you know, whether it's anxieties or just, you know, that inner voice telling you to do something. That's why I stopped playing video games, is because I would just not be thinking about myself. Even when you're scrolling, at the very least when I'm scrolling, I'll get inspired. I'll write a joke, or I'll fucking tweet something, or I'll engage with social media. I'll engage with my audience. There actually is a benefit to it. With video games, it was literally me plugging in and going, and just, I'm talking about like just shooting.
Yeah. And then occasionally being like, fuck,
N-word.
And then trying to write a joke about that.
That's your meditation mantra.
Yeah, just screaming the N-word. But yeah, I, as I get older, like that's like ultimately the fantasy, is to eventually, like if I retired, I would give up social media. I would give up my phone. Like I retired completely. I didn't need to do it for work. Think about that. Think about how nice that would be. Just gardening.
Mm. Yeah, it'd be nice.
Why don't you try it a little bit at a time every day?
The problem is if
like
I
when you're driving.
Within.
You just don't use your phone.
No way, dude. No way. I've gotten so good at using my phone while I drive.
I think I'm getting better at it every day.
I've gotten. Sometimes you have to pull up the phone right to here so you could read while you're. If you got to read a really long thing,
because
you got to be able to see the people peripherally because you can't go down. Quick things, you know, we know.
I don't read long things.
Sometimes you got to read a long thing. Dude, this has been really dangerous, almost more dangerous than reading a long thing. I remember one time I had to read a really long thing. And then in the process of doing it, I downloaded a voice or a text to voice app. But I had to like go into the app store, download the app, get the app, copy and paste the text, put it into the thing, choose a language, register. I did all that while driving. I was like, I could have just read this. I got to be honest with you.
It's like, it was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
He said something really dangerous. Read a long thing.
The Glass Hustler.
How do you get an idiot to crash his car? These next 10 steps.
The Glass Hustler in the Race to Live chat says, I'm driving while watching G and typing this. Hell yeah, doggy.
Nice.
Mongo Monkey Matt also says, me too. Very nice. So what was, Shannon, what was Joe Biden's 9/11?
Still no
club?
Shannon.
Shannon's still not here.
Damn it.
This is a two-person job, Lewis.
I mean, it is a two-person job because I keep on calling for Shannon. She's the person that I would always ask. But what was Joe Biden's 9/11 flub? Where the fuck is Shannon?
Yeah, Jorge's going to panic when I ask him for coffee.
He said he was going to go do 9/11. They were asking him like yesterday, what's his plan? He's like, I'm in town for my daughter's birthday or whatever, and then tomorrow I'm going to go do 9/11.
He said, tonight I'm going to watch the debate. Tomorrow we do 9/11.
I'm doing 9/11, man.
Can we see him?
Shannon just texted me her ETA. She got an Uber and her ETA is 1 o'clock.
Wow.
Oh, perfect.
Tell Shannon, instead of being here at 1, to just pick me up my breakfast sandwich. Okay. I'm serious. I'm 100% serious. I'm starving. I need to eat it so badly. Now, you know what? No, tell her not to. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Do you think Joe Biden gets sad at 9/11 every time he hears about it?
Because he's hearing it for the first time.
Yeah, he's like, oh, shit, man.
It's like 51st date.
Yeah. All these fucking people, man.
The date is 9/11.
Yeah. He's just seeing it over and over again.
What? They got flying machines now?
Do you have the video, Jorge?
I didn't get the... I only got the notes, not the links.
Not the video. Don't worry about it. It's okay, Jorge. I think JP did good enough of a representation of what he actually said.
That's pretty
much
it.
Yeah.
We got a bit out of it.
Yeah, it's fine. What are we going to do? What about weird coincidences about 9/11, Jorge? I have this on the notes. What is that?
Like I just said, I didn't get the links.
You got no links. This is just all notes and no links.
I got one. You remember the video? This isn't a weird coincidence, but it's fun stuff. Remember the video of Buzz Lightyear and Woody, and they're flying, and they're going for the moving truck, and they miss the moving truck, and he's like, Buzz, you missed the truck. And he's like, we're not aiming for the truck. And then it cuts to 9/11.
No, I don't remember that one.
It's the funniest thing ever. This girl tried to break up with me 2 weeks ago, and I was like, no, I'm going to fight for this. But then I sent her that video, and I was like, give me your honest reaction to this. And she was like, not funny.
Not funny.
I was like, not worth it.
Fuck it, I'm done.
Yeah, not worth it.
I'm done.
All right, Shannon sent me the link, so I have the thing.
Finally. Shannon's watching right now.
There is one weird coincidence about 9/11. That scene in Master of Disguise where Dana Carvey is dressed like the turtle and he's in the turtle club, that was taped on 9/11.
And apparently he didn't know about it until after, like he found out in the turtle costume.
They had
costume.
A moment of silence in his turtle costume.
In his turtle outfit. Yeah, I've heard that too.
There's something else. James Cameron was like underwater in a submarine for 9/11. And then when he came up from underwater, that's what they say.
Giving the signals.
Yeah. But when he came up, he was like, no way. Like, he had no idea.
Yeah.
But how would you, I guess?
And that's how we got the idea for Avatar the Water sequel. Where it's like, damn, these people have been encroached on by capitalism.
Oh, I thought him watching revenge. I thought him watching that disaster was like, I can do a disaster just as bad.
He's like, you know where you can't do 9/11? Underwater.
That was a horseshit movie.
Really?
The water one?
I thought it was
Avatar.
All right.
You like the water Avatar? No, it sucked.
I saw it in 3D, so it was like,
yeah.
It was good, I guess.
I thought it was kind of cool. Friends with a big whale.
What? You guys liked it? It was terrible.
Lewis's life story.
I just kind of want to live in that world, if I'm being honest. Where lanky people are accepted.
Sorry, what are these? What are some weird coincidences, Jorge? You got that link?
Is this going to be
Tower
funny?
Tower 7 coincidentally fell down when the others got hit by planes.
Yeah, right. You want to get into the real shit? that the Pentagon announced they had lost $1 billion, and then that's the exact wing of the Pentagon that got hit by that plane?
Conspiracy.
Interesting.
Conspiracy.
I mean, come on. We're all adults here. There's shit we're never going to know.
Jorge? Is there a list or not? I don't actually just so you know, let me make this clear. I don't fucking care about this bit. So if you don't give me the fucking shit, we need to just move on. And we don't need to stand here silently waiting for fucking coincidences of 9/11 while we all just name them.
Can we not have a moment of silence?
Can we please?
So the article is all various coincidences with celebrities. Who have some connection to...
I fucking hate it. Fuck you. Fuck this article. Fuck Shannon for being late right now. I'm moving on from 9/11.
It's like a list of celebrities who have the same birthday. It's like, oh, wait a minute. This isn't it. Oh, sorry.
Where was Lil Wayne on 9/11?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick moment and thank YoDelta.com for being a longtime supporter of the show. YoDelta.com. Incredible Delta 8 products that get you super high. Vapes and gummies shipped right to your door. Why spend more money on weed that's not even as good?
And you guys know what Delta 8 is. It's something found in hemp that can be legally shipped to most states, and it gets you high. Yo Delta has a great mix of gummies and vapes for all your getting stoned needs. But let me tell you, this Delta 8 stuff works, and these products should be taken responsibly.
Just go to YoDelta.com, use the promo code GAS when you check out. You're going to save 25% off your order today. It's already affordable, already cheap, already legal. Promo code GAS at YoDelta.com. All right, where were we? All right,
you just hear the lighter flick before the planes hit the tower.
Let's move on. Dave Grohl reveals he cheated on his wife and welcomed a baby outside of his marriage. That's another level of cheating.
Yeah, you can't do that.
That lady must have fucked him up with that new. When she's like, I'm pregnant, he's like, obviously, you know, you're not going to have it. And she's like, ah, ka-ching, yes, I am. She must have been blackmailing him that he came out with a statement.
Yeah,
she must have said I'm going to the papers.
Who are blackmailing? Hey, forget the papers, dude. You're a dude. Yeah, you're cheating on your wife. You got her pregnant. I'm going to your wife, and he's like, "Fuck."
Yeah,
fuck.
Well, I'm sure there was a number she could have gotten to not talk, and he was probably like, "Fuck you. You're not going to say anything
to your
$5 million." I bet she.
Let me say this. First of all, she is. Dude, child support. Dave Grohl. I know how much I pay in child support.
Yeah.
I know how
Lewis
much I
was
pay.
Not in Nirvana.
I was never in Nirvana. I tried out for the Foo Fighters, didn't make it. But I don't have the same career trajectory as Dave Grohl. I know exactly how much I pay in child support. It's
$0. It's He's not making the pay.
Come get me, bitch. You're never going to get anything. I pay a lot of money in child support, and it's based off of.
And you have him half the time.
Yeah, and I have him. Well, I have him 40%. 40% of the time.
Yeah.
But if you have the way it works,
that's Puerto Rican 60%.
If you do 50-50 custody, you have to pay in New York and New Jersey. You have to pay 17% of the difference of what you make. My assumption is that, what, he's in California? California might be in his favor, dude. What are the child support laws in California? Because this all determines why he made this decision. Because 17% of the difference, if she's just some bitch who makes like, you know, she's a school teacher, she makes $50,000 a year, right? And he makes in residuals off the, I mean, off every, he, you know.
But also if she's that hot, he's not thinking about 17% a year. You know what I mean? He's just dumping in this lady.
I know. I'm just saying that, like, from a financial standpoint, there's probably not an amount of money that was worth it to just pay her to go away.
Yeah.
I'm saying for her, she's, like, set up for the next 18 years of child support. Right. And I don't. Besides, I mean, dude, certain states are like crazy, dude.
In California, the standard is 25%.
25% of the difference of what you make? Oh! Oh, I'm so glad I didn't move to California when I was supposed to.
Yeah, it's not good.
That is fucking wild. Yeah, Ben in Racist Live Chat says Steve Jobs paid the minimum in California. Yeah, but that was back in the day. So he paid, Steve Jobs paid, it was like $100 or $170 a month or something. This is like in the fucking 80s or late 70s. But I always defended Steve Jobs on this, right? And I know you said yesterday you brought up that I defend Steve Jobs' shitty qualities. It's not defending Steve Jobs' shitty qualities.
It's admiring them.
No. I'm very proud of being a good father. I'm just saying that the bitch that Steve Jobs got pregnant was crazy. She was a crazy, hippie, fucking druggy slut. And he knew she was fucking other people. He was fucking other people. And he was just like, you know, like the craziest bitch you've ever fucked? Imagine you got her pregnant. The craziest bitch. Would you be a good father? And then it's really volatile and shitty. Would you want to be in this person's life? Would you like, or would you be like, if the craziest girl I ever dated, if I got her pregnant, I would have had her killed. I would have had her killed, and I would have had the baby killed too. And it would have been a fucking, that would have been that. There's no way.
Special.
Yeah, dude, no fucking way, dude. Are you out of your fucking mind? She was so insane. There's no way I would have wanted to have this woman in my, she was.
In Hollywood, that's called Plan A.
Doggy, there was, I'm talking about like dangerously crazy. Dangerously crazy. This girl pretended to be pregnant. This is the one that pretended to be pregnant after we broke up. I mean, like literally, I was like, I have to fucking kill her. There's no way to, like, I can't have her in my life for the next 18 years. I would rather risk going to prison for the rest of my life than have 18 years of this girl in my life. Prison is more, and I'm not even kidding about this right now. I obviously wouldn't have had her killed. But prison would have been a better option than having to interact with this girl for 18 years of my life.
Did you start planning the murder at all?
Didn't start planning the murder because I never believed that she was actually pregnant. All my friends were like, dude, you got to do the right thing. I was like, kill her. I was like, I'm not going to do it.
Do
I
the
should.
Correct thing,
it's such an old man joke. But I remember years ago, my Uncle Dan being like, it was like maybe his 30th wedding anniversary. And all he kept saying all day was, yeah, if I killed her, I would have been out today.
There's these moments with that. And I don't regret it. I remember for a long time, my biggest regret was this girl slipping into my life. And it was all like, she called me, I met her one night. She was a friend of a friend in Rockland County. And then like the first night I met her, I fucked her in the bathroom at the Yogi's Bar in the Upper East Side. So it's,
and this, you didn't see a future?
This is a pig. This is a pig. I fuck her the first time I'm meeting her, first night I meet her, I take her to a bar and I fuck her. Like, I'm just saying, ladies, if you want a man to respect you, don't do that. Like, he's never going to treat you with any respect. Yeah. If that's the interaction you have with him the first time you meet him. I'm not saying don't be a freak. I'm not saying, like, you know, if you like, you know, I'm just saying the first time, you know.
Yeah.
Don't even fuck. Don't even fuck. If you fuck me the first time you meet me, it's never going to turn into anything more. I'll have that in my mind that you're a fucking slut. You're a pig. You fucked Luis J. Gomez the first night. What is wrong with you? It's me, too.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. Like, a girl's got 2-3 dates. If a girl waits like the third, fourth time, I'm like, yo, this girl's a good woman, an actual good person, right? So I had sex with this girl.
Oh, thank you.
Then she started coming down to stay with me.
With the sniffles. Her immune system had weakened.
From gradual poisoning.
Dude, she would come down. She came down a couple days later. Then she stayed for a few days. Then a few days later, she came down again, stayed for like a week that time. But the third time she visited, she never left. She was just in this girl, and she was like, and very quickly I was like, I fucking hate this girl.
Squatter's rights. Yeah. Just kind of staying there.
She was not attractive. She had a nice body, but she just wasn't like, she was like very like white trash, like really, really, really white trash. And just had like a skanky vibe, like a real fucking, like a little piggy.
Low gum
I'm
line.
I'm into this.
She had shitty teeth. She had fucking, it was.
She sounds careful way back.
She was just like, I mean, she was just dressed with clothes that didn't fit her right. She was just trash.
Did she smoke cigarettes?
Yeah.
Oh, what's her phone number?
So, she ended up, I invited her down like to come meet me at the comedy club. And before she got there was like two pretty cute chicks in the crowd. And I was like, yeah, these girls are kind of fucking bad, right? And they were kind of trashy or whatever. And I used to be really into trashy broads. So then, I brought the one girl down to the bathroom to fuck around with her. And the girl that I'm seeing was about to be at the comedy club. She's coming to the next show. This is the 8 o'clock show. she's coming to the 10 o'clock show. This is how close I was playing.
Wait, yeah, so they got to turn the room around.
Yeah.
This is a plot of an episode of Friends, by the way.
You met her fucking her in a bathroom. Now she's coming to the 10 o'clock show and you're fucking a different girl.
I didn't fuck this girl.
But you're messing around with her in the bathroom. Okay.
Messing around with her in the bathroom.
Sounds like you're the problem here, but go ahead.
No, I will admit I was a piece of shit, unquestionably. Okay. But I was like a fucking, just starting in comedy. Like stand-up New York, we had like free reign over that place. The manager was like.
Oh, those bathrooms down there. Yeah, dude.
We were just fucking savages, dude. Yeah, Santa New York, we were absolute savages back in the day.
That was like when we started at Raven Lounge. Everyone was getting their dick sucked in the back. It was unbelievable.
The best, dude. Yeah. The manager would just let us do it. We could do drugs. It didn't matter. Like, we had free drinks. It was just, we were like...
Yeah, but wasn't that by the weird trans lady who lived upstairs?
Yes, but...
So I go to the bathroom with this girl and start fucking around with her, right? And then within a minute, I hear... on the bathroom door, and I'm like, fuck. So I open it, and it's this girl. And she's like, you're a fucking piece of shit. And she dips off.
She's like, this is our thing.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. She had just been at, I told you, she like moved in. Like, she had my apartment keys.
Oh, no.
She had my apartment keys, and sport, my dog was in the apartment, and my roommate at the time was out of the country for like a month. And my roommate at the time, shout out Haley Boyle, comedian, she didn't pay rent. She was just squatting in this place in Washington Heights and taking my rent money and not paying the rent. So at this point, the landlord had approached me being like, yo, you got to fucking pay. I was like, I don't know. I'm giving rent to this girl.
Yeah.
So there's no going to the landlord. There's no getting into the apartment. This was just like a perfect storm of everything. And then, so she leaves and then I'm like, fuck. Now, I don't actually care because I have these two bitches here now. One of them is already fucking around me. I'm planning a threesome with them now. At first, I'm like, all right, sweet. You know, the problem's gone.
How am I going to get my way out of this one? I know. Threesome.
Yeah, dude. I'm planning a threesome with these trashy fucking broads, right? And there's actually three of them. Two of them are like interested in me, and one of them's like just like a trashy lesbian that's hanging out with them.
Right.
You realize that's like asking for a Gatorade while you're drowning.
I need electrolytes to reach the surface.
Like my house is on fire. Threesome.
So then, yeah, dude. So she leaves and she's getting in a taxi to go to Port Authority to go home. And then I realize she has my keys, and I'm like, fuck, she has my keys. I was like, and this is just this moment where you're like, fuck. Now I have to call her because I was ready to just let her go. Like I was like, I don't like this girl. She's kind of annoying. And I was like, but she, I have to get sport. I can't get into the apartment otherwise. Like, my dog's going to starve to death in a couple days. I was like, this is it. So I had to call her up and be like, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, she had a nipple piercing. She was just showing it to me in the bed. I made up some story. And then I convinced her. She's like, I'm going to throw your keys in the sewer. No, after trying to just be like, I'm sorry. It wasn't working. She's like, I'm going home. Fuck you. And I was like, all right, well, you know, you have my keys. And then she could immediately realize like why I'm actually calling. And she's like, fuck you, I'm going to throw these keys in the sewer. I'm like, no, wait, please don't. I'm really sorry. I'll come see you right now. And then I remember telling the girls, I was like, girls, hang tight.
I'll be right back.
Yes. Hang tight. All right. We're going to still hang tonight. I'll be right back. And then I took a taxi down to Port Authority. I met her and I was like, you know, hey. And then at this point, I'm trying to like just say I'm sorry so I get the keys. But I'm so happy she's getting on a bus. And I'm going like, you know, I'm like, I'm just trying to balance this thing out where get my keys, have her go have a threesome with these trashy broads. This girl that I'm annoyed with is finally out of my life. You know, I can salvage this still. And she's like, you know, fuck you. I never want to talk to you again. I was like, all right, thank you for the keys. You know, have a good day. And then I go back up and I bring these girls back up to the place. I'm like, fucking Scott free, baby boy. Scott, let's go. And then I get a call from that girl. And she's like, I'm coming up to the apartment. I'm coming up right now. And I was like, what? I'm not even at the apartment. She's like, well, I need to get my, I was like, a shirt or something.
You're
she's
like, fine, foursome it is.
She's like, she needs to pick up a shirt or something. And she's like, well, I don't give a shit. I'm going to break down the door and fucking, I'm coming into that apartment and getting my shit. So I was like, no, you can't. Huh, my threesome. No. So now I'm trying to get her to not come from and ruin my threesome. And then literally she's like, I'm 5 minutes away. So I had to kick these girls out.
They're hanging on the windows.
Yeah, dude. I was like, you girls got to go right now. Oh, fuck. It was so annoying. And then, yeah, they left. She came and then it was like a 2-year period of my life with this girl.
She never left.
She never left again.
Damn.
It was fucking brutal until I met my son's mother. And then I met my son's mother, and then I changed the locks because I was like, this is like the woman of my dreams.
Those two girls became gargoyles on the roof of the building after they climbed out a window. They're still there to this day.
I threw cement on them.
Known as the Two Fives, they rest upon the top of the library now, looking for men to fuck in the bathroom.
Shit. Yeah, but that was fucking, that was the biggest regret of my life, was leaving those keys with her, because it created, like, it made it, it just turned my life into hell for 2 years. Just waking up every day with a person that, like, she would just sit in the corner of their bed staring at me like she hated me. Oh, it was the worst.
Yeah, you got to write that in the book, dude.
Now then the first book, plane hit.
That's the second book.
Is that second book? Yeah, the second book? That's book
too. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good story.
It's not bad. Well, anyway, Dave Grohl. I couldn't imagine the anxiety. Like, that's it. Like,
so here's, I think this is going to be his wiggle room. How long ago did Taylor Hawkins die? The drummer.
Like at least a decade ago. No.
Wasn't it recent?
No, Taylor Hawkins died within the last year or two.
Yeah, it was within the past couple years.
I say 5 years. Pre-COVID.
No, definitely post-COVID, because everyone said he had the shot.
March 25th, 2022.
Oh, well.
So, yeah, 2 years ago.
If it was closer, I would say he was mourning his friend and making bad decisions.
I mean, you could
you could probably stretch that out.
Yeah, that's probably what he's going to have to go with.
There's no getting out of dumping in another girl.
Yeah, but also when you get caught like cheating or lying to a girl at all, there's a whole list. You pull out the entire playbook. You're throwing everything at her. So I'm mourning my friend.
I just should have doubled down and started with, I got a confession.
That pussy was the best, the best, the best.
There goes my semen.
He's like, I understand the last 2 years I've been being the pretender. But
yeah, dude, I just couldn't imagine the walls closing in. Have you ever had a girl rat you out to your girlfriend?
No,
I
got
cheating.
I got close to it once and I just cut her off.
You cut off the other girl.
I cut off my girlfriend.
I have to protect you from this information.
Yeah, I had to lose them both, dude. Because I was like, this will be a hit to my ego. I can't have it be a hit to both of our egos. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I remember Karen Feehan was threatening to tell Beatrice that I was doing cocaine. That was like a big thing. When me and Karen were dating, and we like broke up and we were like super toxic. And I was like, you know, Beatrice can't know that I have a massive coke problem.
Is your book going to have an advice section in it?
No, I can't give advice to people. It's crazy. But yeah, she would threaten to tell. She was like, I'm going to tell your son's mother, with the intent that my son's mother would take my son away from me and move to another state. That's how toxic me and Karen got. Just so you guys fucking know, that fucking bitch. Love her though. Good friends with her to this day.
You maintain the relationship.
No, we're all just being, we're being idiots. You know.
So if either of you are thinking about fucking Karen, just know.
I have thought about it many a times, and every time thoughts like that go through my head, I'm like, this bitch is gonna ruin my life.
Yeah, she may ruin your life, but it's okay. No, I love her, and it was genuinely empty threats. It was just super toxic and shitty to the point where I just told Beatrice. I was like, look, I have a coke problem. I was like, I'm having issues. It was like, I just came clean because I had to take the power away from them.
Yeah.
You can't ever let a bitch have that power. If she ever starts threatening to tell your fucking girlfriend shit, be like, well, that you've crossed that threshold. You got to take the power away from her.
Yeah, but also that's still her having the power because she got you to do what she wanted you to do.
No, she didn't know what she wanted at the time was she wanted to be with me, and this was the way to like control me. It was a control thing.
Because if you admit that to your girl, now you're a liar. If she tells your girl that, you could be like, that bitch is a liar.
What do you mean? The coke problem?
Yeah. Like if Karen told your ex-wife, hey, Lewis has a coke problem, you'd be like, Karen's a fucking liar. If you have to go to your ex-wife and be like, hey, I have something to tell you, I have a coke problem. Now you're a liar.
It was good that I said it. Was one of the reasons why I stopped doing it.
Yeah.
Got into therapy, got on Adderall. There was like a whole trajectory of, becoming a better person. So, I don't disparage Karen either. Karen, I know now it was genuinely her just fucking,
It was her love language.
It was her love language, threatening to ruin my life.
Yeah, it's kind of
pushing me into suicide. It was her love language. That's fine. It's all good.
Can we talk about Dave Grohl for another second?
Please.
I went on a fucking hardcore red pill deep dive on people saying that Dave Grohl in his book said when he was a kid he sold his soul to the devil to be successful. And then they just map out his life of everyone that's died. and they say it's him. It's all the payments he's had to make.
Wow.
So it's obviously Kurt, then his best friend and tour manager OD'd, then the drummer OD'd, right after he had done a movie where he plays himself possessed by the devil, killing all his friends.
Wow.
And in his book, he's like, yeah, I sold my soul to the devil when I was a kid to be a rock star. And people think that that conspiracy people are like, yeah, this is every few years somebody's going to die in Dave Grohl's life.
That makes sense because I don't think anyone in the world of rock and roll would ever die.
Can we see Dave Grohl's current wife? Who is he cheating on? Is she fucking twit as fuck?
I'm sure she's beautiful.
Maybe. I mean, it could also be like some bitch that he's been with forever and he's doing the right thing, which if you do that, this was with Hugh Jackman, right? He like just with some bitch who just got old and he's like as
he's I think he's divorced now.
He's divorced now, but he was like in his peak physical condition.
The one wife, on the right?
The wife is which one?
His daughter.
The one that's not a child.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to say 4, 1, 2, 3.
Happy 9/11, everybody.
I'm going, hold on, wait, let me, I'm going, 4, 3, 2, 5, 1.
Oh, fuck me. Let's see a close-up of the wife, though. Let's see a better picture of her. Oh, Shannon! Oh, so nice of you to join us!
Shannon.
Oh, so nice of you to join us, Shannon.
Now show them.
Now show me your fucking tits right now. Shake them.
It's been almost 4 hours of travel.
Shake them.
Sorry, guys.
It's all right. We still love you. We know it's not your
Can
fault.
Can we see Dave Grohl's wife in a better picture? Better picture, please. Thank you very much.
Dave Grohl's wife.
Let's pull up a Dave Grohl's wife. Sister.
And do we have the mistress yet, or is this a mystery woman?
I haven't seen the mistress.
Mystery, no, mistress? They haven't.
That's also what serious? I call trans women. I call them mystery women. Like they're mystery. They're a little mystery.
Oh,
get it? They're a little like a mister.
Hit the button.
The old. The old dad joke from when I was growing up, when a woman transitions to a man, she gets a procedure called an adidectomy.
An adidectomy, I like it. Yeah, she's pretty toit.
That's the wife.
And he's got three kids. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
They're all grown, though, the kids, for the most part. All right, well, his wife's tight, dude.
Yeah, she's hot.
Especially for him, he's a goofball, dude. He's a rock star and he's really talented, but he's a fucking very average-looking dude.
Can we see the mistress?
We don't know who she is yet. And the kids are 10, 15, 18, I believe.
10, 15, and 18. Damn, dude. That sucks. Just embarrassing. You don't want to embarrass your kids. That's the thing. It's the only thing that I care about, like the shit that I've done on podcasts and the internet. I don't ever want it to like come back and embarrass my son and have like people being like, oh, your fucking dad's an asshole. That's literally the only thing that I think about at all.
Yeah.
And I'm like just preparing him for it slowly but surely.
Like I just probably got some pretty good like built-in anti-bullying armor, right?
Yeah,
he's got some self-defense instincts.
Yeah, no, he's fucking does jujitsu and he's a ball buster. It's good. Yeah,
yeah.
But like he's joining the wrestling team.
That's cool.
Yeah,
is this his first year doing it?
Yeah.
Nice.
He's gonna do great.
Yeah, he's been doing jujitsu for a while, and he's gonna join the wrestling team. And he's just so nice. The problem is nobody on the wrestling team was sweet. They were all cunts.
Yeah.
In North Rockland High School, where I went, like, every kid on the wrestling team, they were just, like, these Dave Matthews Band listening fucking white bread cunts. And they were just, like, literally the fucking cuntiest kids in the school. Every single one of them. Everybody that was on the wrestling team, I hated. All of them.
I was on the wrestling team.
Were you?
Yeah.
Whenever a kid on wrestling on another school had a tattoo, you could almost bet, is it a Celtic cross or the Metallica logo?
Yeah. Dude, that was the scariest shit ever, though. Just being like 16 and seeing a kid with a tattoo and being like, fuck, I got to wrestle that guy.
Yeah.
Try being the fucking heavyweight in ninth grade. I wrestled a dude with a full mustache who had a kid in the crowd.
That's insane.
He had a child watching him wrestle.
As soon as I saw the
beating up a boy.
As soon as I saw the singlet, I was like, I'm not going to let my flat dick be pressed in front of a crowd of people.
That always sucked.
It's never like literally just so you know, it ain't happening. I'm not going to wear a prosthetic penis and you need a cup that fits.
I don't think you wear a cup.
You don't wear a cup?
No.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we didn't
wear cups.
Fuck that
noise,
well,
there
were kids on the wrestling team when I was in high school who were like closeted gay kids who came out later. And they were just like, yeah, I just really like to practice.
I'm sure. Well, I'm sure it's awesome.
They would carry each other on their backs as training. They'd
I see my son. So there's a lot of girls in his school. Like it's half girls in his jiu-jitsu school. And yeah, they're like, I just see my son. They put him with like these cute little girls. And he's just like literally... I just see him sitting in guard for way too long. And I'm James, I know exactly what you're doing, dude. You're just sitting in this girl's guard with your hands on her chest being like.
Oh,
that's
no.
That's a position literally with a girl lying on her back. Her legs are wrapped around you. You grab her gi. You press your hands down on her chest while you posture up. And this is like a defensive positioning when you're in somebody's guard. It is just full-fledged play with her titties and put your dick into her in between her legs. That's it. Imagine going through, he's going through puberty now. Like, it's just heaven.
Yeah.
It's got to be the best. And he's got a crush on one of the girls in the class.
He probably thinks the same thing is going to happen in wrestling and be real disappointed. It's all dudes in singles.
He's like, dude, I can't wait for that position.
No, why is it all dudes?
I had to wrestle. Now,
he's searching AI porn for like girls with cauliflower ear.
I had to wrestle a girl my junior year of high school. And, I remember fucking, it went to the third period and my coach was like, in between periods, my coach was screaming at me. This is a gym of maybe like 12 parents in the bleachers. It was quiet in between periods.
Yeah.
And
it's a fucking girl, just, Drew. Yeah,
a 50-year-old man. No, he literally was like, you're going to let a bitch beat you in wrestling? He's like, you got to pin this bitch.
This
and I was
crazy.
Like, I was like, yeah, you're right.
It's like bitch's parents are here.
Dude, he said the same thing. We went to a black school and we had a racist kid on my team. He was a farmer. And, I'm pretty sure, I don't think he said the N-word, but it was like one of those old school racist terms where you're like, ooh, one of those. He said that in between periods.
Well, I thought they retired that one.
Yeah, yeah. And my boy went out there and fucking headlocked him in the third. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
He unlocked something.
Yeah, the...
I watched a girl win a match. I've told it before, but it was a tournament and there was a girl... Because, you know, the guys that wrestled like 113, 120, every once in a while you'd have to wrestle a girl.
Yeah.
And they would be nervous. They'd be like, dude, don't be nervous. Be nervous if I have to wrestle a girl. Because that means there's a 215-pound woman that wants to kick my ass, right? And there was a girl that wrestled 172. And she's big, thick Puerto Rican girl. And we watched her headlock a dude, and she had her big ass, the real low center of gravity. So she just flipped this kid ass over tea kettle and drilled him into the earth and pinned him. And he wasn't on our team. We had nothing to do with it. My coach is this old man. He just puts his hands on his knees and goes, somebody's joining indoor track.
Yeah, dude, I can't.
The headlock starts braiding his hair.
When I was doing jiu-jitsu, I wouldn't grapple with women ever. Ever.
Why not?
Well, number one, there's no point. Like, I'm too big and strong. So there's, like, what's the point? And then number two, I get really sweaty. And I would get like self-conscious. I would feel bad. I'm like sweating all over this poor girl. I'm like, what is the point of this? This isn't doing anything for you. It's not the right size. So I would actually refuse to grapple with women unless the coach was like, no, you have to grapple with this chick. Yeah.
What about, you think you could beat that girl, Gabby Garcia?
No.
No?
No, 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 no. She's a big fucking beast.
Yeah, she's huge.
There are women in the world. Like, I'm only a blue belt in jiu-jitsu. I think I can beat most brown belts and... You know, most purple belts that are women in jiu-jitsu. They're just not strong enough. I mean, from my experience, I say the women that I've grappled with, the times that I have, it's like a brown belt. I'm like, okay, well, I'm sorry. Like, you just don't have the strength to be able to really handle it. It's a problem with, like, they teach women jiu-jitsu for self-defense. But, like, what happens if your rapist is a jiu-jitsu expert? We're not even an expert. Just he's slightly okay, slightly experienced. Bitch, you've spent 12 years becoming a fucking elite grappler. And this fucking dude who took fucking three classes is just pinning you down and taking it anyway.
Well, that or if you're really good, go get in guard. And she just wraps her legs around him and puts his hands on her tits. Yeah.
He's like, I love being in guard.
Lewis, you get a woman in like an arm bar, and then she goes, I'm going to tell your ex-wife you're doing cocaine.
Oh, here.
The ultimate defense.
Yeah, it really is. But yeah, I'm excited for him to do wrestling just to challenge himself. I remember how hard it was. I went to like a week of practices, maybe 2 weeks of practices. We never even went to a match. Like, I didn't get to the point, and I was genuinely concerned about the singlet, but I quit before that even became like a thing. I remember just in my high school, it was fucking bonkers. Our warm up was us running 3 miles. Now, this doesn't sound like that crazy. like to anybody who's done sports, like I'm like a fat kid, but it wasn't just running 3 miles. 3 miles at that point, I had never ran 3 miles in my entire life. It wasn't happening, right? But they would have, we had an indoor pool at my high school, and it was a heated pool, and it was like a sauna in the pool, and they had us do it around the pool. It was whatever, it was like however many things around the pool it was, but it was a full half an hour of just running around the pool to warm up. And then we'd go into the basement where there was no air conditioning. It was just a hot sauna of the wrestling room. They made it like torture. They purposely were like, and they there was like a sense of pride in it. And I think when you go around like other parts of the country, this is like the norm. I don't really know much about like high school and collegiate wrestling, but they would torture these fucking kids. It's like the toughest training in the world.
Yeah, they try and kill you in there. I was laughing at the idea of a wrestling coach on one side of the pool with a whistle yelling at you guys to run, and then a lifeguard on the other side being like, no running by the pool.
Yeah. that was the toughest thing I ever had to deal with. And after a couple practices, I was just like, I'm just not doing it. I don't give a fuck.
Sometimes you go and train, like you do a joint practice with another school.
It's my weird. Sucked.
Hell yeah. No, and they would... I remember, maybe we went to North Bergen, wherever we went, they turned up the thermostat to like 102.
Yeah.
To just try and like,
that's like try to break you. It's a very psychological, and like my assumption is that they're not like that today with kids. They can't be.
There's a lot of wrestling coaches are still pretty hard on them, but especially in like joint practices, because wrestling coaches also have huge egos.
Yeah.
So if it's two wrestling coaches in the room, he'll be like, well, my guy's training 130 degrees. And they're just trying to turn it up.
I anally rape every one of my wrestlers.
Well, I double anally rape all my wrestlers.
I mean, I think I definitely have an aversion. Obviously, I hate working out, but like some of the stuff I think that my coaches told me to do would be considered abuse now.
Yeah, for sure.
Lose 30 pounds in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Well, they don't weigh in kids anymore the day before. Weigh-ins used to be day before for all of these things.
I think I weighed 242 and they had me wrestle 215 2 weeks later.
Or was that?
And they were like, they would literally say, go get trash bags.
Maybe I'm thinking of MMA.
High school wrestling, you'd have to get to school early and then weigh in before school. If you made weight, you could wrestle that night and have a 2 pound allowance. If you didn't, then you had to weigh in again at night.
Yeah, I'm thinking of MMA. They changed it where MMA guys would weigh in the day before, and then they changed it now where they weigh in the day of. Am I wrong about that? I think I'm right about that. I'm remembering something because it was dangerous. It was getting really dangerous. Or no, there is something to that. I remember this. They changed something with the rules with like amateur wrestlers with the way they weighed them in. Yeah. They weren't allowed to lose a certain amount of weight when they like. I think there's something to that. I'm just remembering it wrong.
But just thinking like that, an adult male would hand a kid garbage bags, say, cover yourself in these, put on sweats.
Yeah.
And then
7:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Go get on the fucking bike for 2 hours. Oh, also spit in this fucking Gatorade bottle.
Yeah. Just spitting nothing. Yeah. Good times.
All right. So what's going on here with Casey Anthony? She moved in with her married boyfriend.
This fucking homewrecker.
I mean, guys, if you murder your fucking children, I mean, anything else just pales in here. I just can't be like, oh my God, how a married guy. She murdered babies, guys. I'm fine. This is okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you're telling me this lady has morals?
Yeah, I'm not.
If anything, this guy's wife got the best story ever to tell on the phone to everyone she knows.
Also, her group chat's going crazy right now. Like, you have no idea who she's on with.
Up.
Yeah. Casey Anthony.
Wait till you see the next season of The Masked Singer. She is going to belt out.
She's a baby. As the baby.
Casey.
So what
Ken Jeong stands up. I knew it.
What is this story?
So apparently she met this guy at a gym when she lived in South Florida in January. And then he, at the end of January, moved to Tennessee, I believe. And she kind of immediately after started staying at a hotel close by where he lives with his wife and kids. Later on that month, he ended up like breaking things off with his wife. But she just moved out, and she moved out of the house an hour and a half before Casey Anthony moved in.
There's something about like, whatever, more power to you. Like, his relationship was obviously not great. You know, he fucking wanted to find somebody new. You know,
she's caked up.
It's not that crazy of a story. That happens all the time, right? Somebody fucking finds somebody new, they move out. It is what it is. But there's just something about the person that welcomes that chaos into their life. This is where I'm at in my life. I couldn't imagine just like, I'm going to start like dating a woman who's got a husband that she like lives with. That seems like so much like extra anxiety and drama to deal with. That like you have to have something mentally wrong with you as an adult. I'm gonna say like everyone in their 20s makes stupid decisions. We all fuck around and do, you know, retarded things.
Yeah. Kill a kid.
We've experienced life enough at this point to go like, yeah, I'm gonna avoid that. That just seems like a lot of drama and a lot of anxiety for no reason.
Yeah, I feel like if you put everything on paper and then you read out "Leave my family for Casey Anthony" and then still decide to go through with it, you're an insane person.
Yeah, that's wild. Yeah,
she might be addicted to the drama.
Who, Casey Anthony?
It's been a long time since she's been in the news. She's like this nefarious character. Maybe she's the kind of person that needs crazy drama all the time.
Yeah.
So, like, that's someone she would go after because psychologically she needs to be fucking people's lives up.
Well, yeah, I mean, more power to her. She's pretty tight now, right?
Yeah, fucking dump her on her.
Yeah. I haven't seen her.
There's pictures of her at Disneyland fucking cake.
I'm going to show you a picture of the guy in
his
wife.
A couple years ago. She was pretty hot still.
Does she still have kids?
This is the guy. He's a dweeb.
And his ex-wife still.
This poor gal.
The guy should have been like, yeah, Casey can come over and help you move. She has a lot of experience shoving things into boxes.
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, whatever. You know, what happens? People break up. Shannon, I said I was going to give away a pair of all-access passes on every Real Ass Podcast until Skankfest. How should we do that?
Did you talk about the call-in thing yet?
What call-in thing?
That we discussed earlier for
what
today.
What did we discuss?
No. You said you're going to have listeners call in to say who they think won the debate.
Oh, no, I don't want to do that anymore. I hate that. Because I didn't watch the debate. I just wanted to know what these people think.
I have no idea.
I watched like a minute of it. And I was like, I hate this.
Yeah, I watched 10 minutes and I got frustrated.
Yeah. She's just like fucking making fucking just soulless points, just so rehearsed. And he's just fucking like,
he's like, she's black.
She's black. She's Indian. Who cares?
Black.
Either way, she smells. Black, Indian. She smells. Who cares?
It's jollof rice or jasmine rice. One of those two. She smells.
She smells like shit. Black shit, Indian shit. Who knows?
They're eating the dogs.
You could tell he was like trying to keep it reserved. I watched the whole thing like out of self-harm. And you could tell he was trying to keep it together for like the first 15, 20 minutes. And then he's just like, hit the button. They're eating dogs. They're making the prisoners trans. Like, I heard playing all the hits.
How about this? Fifth caller wins a pair of all access passes to Skankfest. We'll do it right now just to end the show. Why not? Right, Shannon? I always like doing that.
And that number is 976.
No, 573 gas line. Give us a ring right now. Fifth caller wins a free pair of all-access Skankfest passes. That's for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, courtesy of Yo Kratom. Shout out to Yo Kratom for making it all possible. And you know what? I'll tell you this much. Let me give a little plug real quick right now. If you guys want to be a part of Skankfest and you guys can't be there, go to mintcomedy.com/Skankfest. You guys can buy individual days. You can buy the entire weekend. You can buy individual shows. I think pre-sale right now is for the whole weekend, just the individual days. But you could buy, I mean, we're doing everything this year. We're doing The Depraved. We're doing stand-up shows. We're doing Legion of Skanks, obviously. We're doing Story Wars, Part of the Problem. We're doing a bunch of amazing live streams. They're going to be cheaper than they've ever been before. And what's really cool is Mint Comedy is giving you 3-month free subscription of Mint Comedy, so you don't have like a 3-day window to watch the Skankfest streams. You'll have a few months to watch them. They have over 100 hours of other live shows that are available on mintcomedy.com, and as well as a live show every single week from the Comedy Cellar that you guys will have access to. And they're not making it where they automatically charge you. They're going to send you an opt-out thing before you get charged. They'll send you a link like, hey, if you want to keep it, you know, click here. If you don't want to keep it, you guys can cancel right here, which is really cool of them, because every other company just tries to trick you into, you know, keeping your membership, and they're gonna make sure that you guys are aware when that billing goes through. But yeah, if you guys want to be a part of Skankfest and you guys can't be there, mintcomedy.com/Skankfest. They're a great company and a great partner for the past 3 years for Skankfest. 573 gas line. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Hello,
Wally.
I'm getting a lot of buzz.
Hi, my name's Casey. I'm from Florida.
I just need a babysitter for the weekend.
All right, Shannon, I don't hear it. I don't hear anybody, Shannon.
It should be on.
Hello?
Oh, there you are. There you are. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Crackpot.
Oh, what's up, Crackpot?
Tennessee.
Oh, you're the man, dude, but you're caller number one. You don't win. Peace.
He's caller number five.
No, he was caller number five?
We screened through.
Oh, you screened through. No, yeah. We were supposed to have fun and fucking screen them ourselves, you assholes.
We can start again.
Fuck you, Shannon. Isn't Crackpot a cunt?
No, he's a sweet boy.
Is Crackpot a sweet boy or is he a cunt?
No, he's a sweet boy.
All right, Crackpot, you just won 2 Skankfest All Access passes. He's a sweet boy. Crackpot, this is the worst segment we've ever done on the show.
Cool.
Let's just get your information. Can you make it a Skankfest?
Fuck no, I'm disabled.
Oh, he's disabled. He can't make it a Skankfest. God damn
that
it.
That has stopped no one, I assure
well,
you.
Well, do we have a fighting event can for we, you? Can,
next caller wins, Shannon. Put him through. This is awful, guys. Can you fix this? Can you fix that? It sounds like you're fucking... Fucking, what's the guitarist from Rage Against the Machine?
Tom Morello.
Tom Morello.
Sounds like Tom Morello trying to like write a song on the end of his fucking guitar. I hate it. 573 Gasline, you're on the air. You are the winner. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
And my name's Allie. I'm from Imperial, California.
Hell yeah, doggy. Can you make it to Skankfest?
Hell yeah.
Fuck yeah, dog. You just won 2 all-access passes for you and a friend. Shannon, fix the fucking phones. I'm sick of it.
Blame Shannon.
Fix the phones. We're going to put you on hold. They're going to take care of you. They're going to get all your information. You just won a pair of all-access passes. Courtesy of Yo Kratom. Yo Kratom is the shit. Best sponsors in the game, making it possible for us to give away a bunch of tickets this year, which is incredible. So thank them, guys. Go support Yo Kratom. YoKratom.com/Skankfest for your chance to win as well. You don't have to just listen to the show. You can just... No purchase necessary. I've always wanted to say that. Did you ever send anything in as a kid to like, have you ever sent in like cereal box points for like the free prize?
No, I remember saving them up, but never like doing it.
I think it's like 1 out of every 1,000 people actually probably sent it in. So it was a great way to sort of like not have to pay up on the product. You know what I'm saying? So like, I don't even remember what any of them would be like, but it would almost be like, you know, you get the kids that see the prize on the box that don't even realize that they have to save up or send it in. There's a portion of them. There's a portion of people that save them all up and never send them in, which is probably almost everybody.
Yeah.
And then like 1 out of like 1,000 people got those prizes. None of it. I would save Marble Miles. My mom's Marble Miles.
Did you ever
I had a fucking huge cup of Marble Miles.
Did you ever see Pepsi Where's My Jet?
Yeah, of course.
It's my favorite shit ever.
Yeah, it was great.
That guy.
You ever see The Simpsons House?
No.
They did a thing in between 2 seasons of The Simpsons. You could win. They built The Simpson House. And it's such a bad house, like structurally, that no one... It's empty still. The lady that won it, they were like, you can either have it or we can give you like $60,000. She's like, I'll take the money. And then they've sold it twice and both people like repainted. It's impossible to live in. So there's just a plainly painted Simpsons house unsold on a block.
Hilarious. All right, we're going to wrap this one up. This has been a lot of fun. We'll be back on Friday, bonus episode just for subscribers. So if you guys are not subscribed, go to gasdigital.com. Subscribe, you get a bonus episode. A lot of fun. Always fun. We'll check you guys next time. Until then, good night.
That's all, folks.